Well, it's good to be here with you. If you're visiting, this is a special service. We're going to be having a special offering for our stewardship project. We're looking to build out a warehouse that we've leased. Yesterday, the kids and I were getting their banks ready, okay, and so this is good. And then I realized they have an inordinate amount of coins, okay, and what happened was that, so they're saving their money for this stewardship project. And separately, I save coins, not for the stewardship project, but I over the years, I always do this, and I just put this in a big jar, and then I use it for whatever. I think last time, Jen and I went on a special date. But I don't like to collect pennies. I think they're kind of useless. I mean, a lot of pennies, right? They just take up space, and they're not worth that much. So I put them, like, in a separate cup on my desk. And so my kids, of course, are trying to collect money, and they see this, and they go, "Dad, can I have these?" And being the generous guy that I am, I give them all my pennies. And they put them in their banks. And so I was like, oh, that's good. But then I was thinking, for those who will be counting money this afternoon, when you get to those three banks that have a lot of pennies, realize their hearts were behind it. And they love our Lord. And 3 hours later, when you're done counting pennies, you can know they still love our Lord. But it's good. I'm excited about today. Let me pray for us. And I'm just going to give a brief devotion, and we'll have our time of giving. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your grace and mercy and the chance that we get to come before your word, to meet as family, to be transformed again. We pray that today would be especially honoring to you, Lord, as we give our gifts to you. And we pray that ultimately you would know well our hearts and that they would demonstrate we treasure you above all things. We thank you, Jesus. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you're visiting today, again, it's a special day in the life of the church. Since we first started the church almost 8 years ago, we've been looking for a more permanent church home. We recently found a warehouse less than a mile away from here that we're leasing. We're currently praying that the city would allow us a conditional use permit that will allow us to meet there. So I think next week on Tuesday, a week from this Tuesday, there'll be a special, we'll be having our first meeting with the city. So if you could pray for that, we would appreciate it. And today is the day when we give our money to help build out the warehouse. So it's kind of an empty box. We need to put in a sanctuary and classrooms and things like that. So we've been studying the topic of money. And in one sense, our stewardship project has been moving towards this day. After all, today is the day that we give, we make our commitment. And it would seem that what makes this day special is that we're giving money and we're that much closer to finally having a more permanent church home. And yet, though that's exciting, what makes today special has little to do with a healthy building fund and has everything to do with worship. After all, our greatest call in life is to honor God, to give him the glory that he deserves. And this service, specifically the commitment and sacrifices that the church will be making, honors God. Really quickly, do you mind moving in real quick, just so that we have people can sit down? So if there's space next to you, if you can move in so there's seats to the side of you, that'd be great. Good, thank you. Okay, so so again, our greatest call in life is to honor God, not just to give money to worship, honor him. And giving does this. So the question is why? Why does it, as a financial sacrifice and commitment, an act of worship? In other words, we understand that this is a worship service. You know, we sing songs and we open God's word. And it makes sense those worship God. Because when I sing songs, I'm exalting God. I'm telling people this is a great God. When we look at God's word, he reveals himself to us. And in that, God is honored. But why does giving bring him glory? Well, I think to understand this, we have to remember first the gospel. And the idea of worship being at the heart of the gospel. Now remember, we were made to worship. Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Okay, so God made us with this bent, this desire to worship. And it was meant to be this perfect relationship where we worshiped him and we loved him and we found our greatest joy in that. Okay, so lest you think that it was supposed to be, you know, grueling, sometimes you may not like to worship, realize that's our sin. It was meant to be amazing. But what happens, sin enters the world and it ruins everything. The perfect lives of worship are ruined. Specifically, the Bible says that we exchange the truth about God for a lie and we worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. In other words, we don't want to worship God, we want to worship his stuff, right? We love things, we love people, we love relationships, we love popularity, we love success, we love those things. Those become what we worship. And in our sin, we are rebels against God, right? We've committed this cosmic treason against the one true God of the universe. He said, worship me, love me, give your life to me, obey me. This will be incredible, it'll be joyful, and yet we rebel and we live in sin. And every act of sin is this act of rebellion against God. And in that sin, in that breaking of God's law, we deserve death. And that's exactly what the Bible says is going to happen, right? It says God's going to pour out his wrath on the sinful man. In other words, he's going to punish us in the form of an eternity in hell. And that's what we deserve, okay? We should close the Bible, end of the story, live our life the best that we can, and then expect hell. Now, as Christians, we know that's not the end of the story. Because God, in his grace and mercy, he sends Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ walked this earth not just to be a teacher, not to be just a prophet, not just to be a good person, but he came to be our sacrifice. In other words, he lived the perfect life that I wasn't able to, and then he went to the cross and suffered in my place. Think of it this way. My sinful life was credited to Jesus, even though he didn't deserve it, and he was punished by God on the cross for it. The physical death of the cross, though gruesome and horrific, was nothing compared to the wrath of God that he suffered while he was there. Do you realize that's what he was doing? He was suffering God's wrath in my place. Conversely, I am credited with Jesus' perfect life, righteous in every way, so that one day when I stand before God, I'll be allowed to enter into heaven because I'm his son. I'm his child. I have his righteousness credited to me. How do we obtain that salvation? It's by grace. It's through faith, right? We turn from our sins and we trust that Jesus is our Savior, that he died in our place. Now, as we've often said, if we think of the gospel simply as our ticket into heaven, though, we kind of miss so much of what it's about. Because the gospel now allows us to worship rightly. It changes our affections. It helps us. It helps renew us in our commitment to bring glory to God. So remember, that's how I was made. I'm built for that. Everyone's a worshiper. Everyone's always worshiping. But people turn and we worship the creation. And now with the gospel, I can worship God again. And this separates us from the rest of the world. We can worship God rightly. We are able now to worship the creator instead of the creation. And this is important because, again, this is how we're made. Nothing is more important to you than that you would bring God honor. Okay, think about that for your life. Not just your money, not just Sunday morning singing songs, but all of life, you are meant to bring God glory. Isaiah 43, God says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory." I mean, that's why we were made. I mean, Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. I mean, this is worship. What does worship mean? It comes from that English idea of worth-ship. Right? That's what it originally is, worth-ship. We're ascribing worth. It's about adoring and loving and trusting in and acknowledging greatness and desiring. This is what it means to worship. So how do we do this? I mean, singing is a great way we do this because we're acknowledging God. We're exalting God. We're singing to him. It's a very tangible and amazing way to worship. But if all of my life is about worship, then it means that I should be able to worship God with my money. And so the question is, how do we do this? Okay, if I'm supposed to be able to honor God with money, how can I do that? How can I make Christ look great through the way that I deal with my money and possessions? How do I adore God and love God and treasure God with my money? Well, I think this passage in 1 Timothy 6 shows how we do that. He says this in verse 17, "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. We studied this passage earlier in the series, so I'm not going to go into it too deeply, but let's look at it just for our point this morning. Paul says, don't place your hope in the uncertainty of riches, but in God. Okay, so Christ is meant to be our treasure, right? This idea of hope has to do with trust. We trust in money for our security, our happiness, our joy, and our identity. And Paul says, don't do this. Trust in Christ. Trust in him for who you are. He is the one that we should adore and love and hope in. So get this. I honor Christ with my money by not hoping and trusting in money, but by hoping and trusting in God. I've said this often through the series, but I think part of our problem, I know for me, has been that we put our faith in money, right? We put our faith in money because we believe if we have enough in our bank accounts, then we'll be secure. We trust in money because we believe it provides us with an identity that we desire. We trust in money because we believe that it'll make our kids happy and secure. Ultimately, we trust in money because we think we can get happiness from it. As Donald Trump famously said, those who say money can't buy you happiness don't know where to shop, right? And that's the idea. We wouldn't say it in such crass terms, but we kind of believe that. If I just had a little more money, then I would be happy. But if we hope in money, are we really honoring God? Imagine, let me try to illustrate this. Okay, you don't have to imagine that I'm married. I am married, but imagine I have my wife here, and I spend some time in there, and we're legally married, but I'm really in love with another woman, and I want to spend my time there and my energies there. So in name, I'm married to my wife. And now, does that honor her? I guess, well, we're married. I mean, we can look at the marriage. I mean, I see you every once in a while. I mean, sometimes I even take you out. I pay some bills. I mean, doesn't that show that I love you, that I honor you? Of course not. Where is my honor? Where is my... It's who I love. Right? Who's all I want to spend my time with? Conversely, what if I treasure my wife above all people? Okay, so life is busy, but when I spend time with her. And I can't buy her the biggest gifts in the world, but the gifts that I do try to buy, I try to make meaningful. What honors her is that she's my great love, right? I adore her, and I want to be with her. How do I honor my wife? But I treasure her and not something else. Same is true for money. How would I honor God? I treasure him and not something else. I don't look to money to be my source of joy. I think we often say we love God because we come to church, we sing songs, we even serve. But if we really love money, do we love God? I mean, we're selfish, we're not generous. Money is for our pleasure, our identity, our security. No matter what happens on Sunday morning, the way I use my money says what I treasure. And so often it says I treasure it. So how do we honor God with our money then? Don't treasure money, treasure God. As John Piper says, we make Christ look great by showing the world that money is our treasure and not Christ. I mean, sorry, that Christ is our treasure and not money. So think about that. Worship means acknowledging God's greatness and worth. It's about loving and adoring and trusting him. And so to honor God with my money means that I use it in such a way to show that I don't love money and I don't trust money and I don't adore money, but rather Christ is my great treasure. How can I do this practically? Look at verse 18. I think it's kind of the application part of Paul's point. He says, do good, be rich in good works, and be generous and ready to share. In other words, when you place your hope in God and not money, then you won't hoard money or use it simply on yourself, but you'll be generous and ready to share. To put it in the opposite, when you place your hope in money and not God, you won't be generous and ready to share. So why aren't we generous? Because we trust in money. Right? We place our hope in money. But when I'm generous, it means money's just not that important to me. It's because I love God, and I just want to use my money to love God and to love others. Imagine you support the ministries of Lighthouse with your offering. What are you saying? Money's not my treasure. God is. You see a family in need, and you help them out. Maybe it's even anonymously, so you're never going to get credit for this. You're not going to get a tax write-off. What are you saying? Money's not my treasure, but Christ is. So say you're supporting a missionary on the mission field, or you're giving to the stewardship project. What are you saying? Money is not my treasure, but Christ is. Paul speaks of this idea of treasuring Christ in Philippians 3:8. He says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ." John Piper answers the question of how to treasure God, how to honor God with our money, like this. How does Paul make Christ look great? By experiencing Christ as such a treasure that everything else in life is counted as nothing by comparison. I count everything. Money as loss, food as loss, looks as loss, friends as loss, family as loss, joy or job and success as loss, graduation as loss, in comparison with the treasure that Christ has become for me. How do you make Christ look great in your life and thus not waste it? Money is given to you so that you might use money in a way to show that money is not your treasure, Christ is. Food is given to you so that you may eat it in such a way that it will be plain that food is not your treasure, Christ is. Friends, family are given to you so that you might live with them in such a way that it will be plain to the world that they are not your treasure, but Christ is. Computers, toys, houses, lands, cars are given to you so that you may use them in such a way that it will be plain to the world that they are not your treasure, Christ is. The way we display the supreme worth of Jesus is by treasuring him above all things and making choices that display that to the world. So does that make sense? This morning is our Commitment Sunday. And it's special because it's an act of worship where we show that we value Christ. Because as individuals, as families, when we place our offering and commitment cards in these baskets, what are we saying? Money's not our treasure, but Christ is. In fact, money is so not our treasure that we're literally going to give it away to do something for the cause of Jesus. Understand, this is what our series has been moving to. Not because now we'll have money that we need, but because it's a tangible way to demonstrate to Christ that he's our treasure. I mean, this may not sound encouraging to your giving, but God doesn't need your money, and he doesn't need my money, right? The cattle on 1,000 hills are his. So why give? Because it represents something more significant than a building. It represents our hearts. It represents commitment and love. I think one example of this would be when I got engaged. Okay, so that was one of the greatest days of my life, and I think, you know, so my wife wasn't expecting it, mainly because I lied to her, which in retrospect wasn't right, but I did. Okay, so she wasn't expecting this engagement, and we spent this day, and we were you know, the whole day's built up, so I know it's coming, I'm excited, I can't wait. You know, and big thing, I knew what she was going to say, I had a good idea. I knew there was a good odds, at least, okay, that she didn't say yes. But I was just like, well, you know, is she, you know, I couldn't wait to see how happy she would be, right? And so I propose. And for me, the ring, you know, it wasn't the nicest in the world, but for me, it constituted a significant sacrifice. But I didn't think twice. It wasn't like, oh man, this is too much. I was so happy to do it. So the question is, why was the ring special? Was it because I increased her personal financial worth? Okay, so she had this amount of money, and now she has this much more. You know, she could sell the ring on eBay or something, or is it because her fingers are much more attractive now with this ring on them? It's special because of what it signifies. It's a demonstration of my love and affection for her. Right? It was meant to say that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her, and though imperfectly, try to love her as I should. The value of the ring has little to do with its monetary worth. In fact, I'm guessing if you'd offer my wife more money than it's worth, she would probably say no. Unless I told her, you should sell it. Okay, let's just be honest. We'll get you a new one. But she would probably tell you, no, because it's worth more than just what it is, right? It means something. Commitment Sunday has little to do with a monetary amount and everything to do with significance. God doesn't need our money. But by giving, what are we saying? Money is not our treasure, but Christ is. He's the supreme worth. He's the one I value, the one I adore, the one I love, the one I trust, and the one I have faith, the one who gives me identity and my security. Why would I hold tightly to money when compared to Christ, it's nothing? If you're not a Christian, we're glad you're here. And we're not going to try to talk you into Christianity, but we do hope to give you an accurate picture of who God is. And one of the things that we hope that you see in this morning is that Christ is the worthy treasure you should be seeking. I mean, even if you don't believe in God, you realize this truth, that which we treasure is that which we think is important and worthy. And we hope that in our commitment this morning, you see this truth. Money is fool's gold. The real treasure is in Christ. In fact, we believe this truth to such an extent that we're literally going to give money away. There's no doubt in my mind that he's a great treasure. For some of you who are just visiting, you might be a Christian, you're just here. I hope we're an encouragement to you. Encouragement to you to realize that Christ is the great treasure. Maybe you're a college student, you're here, you're not even found a church home yet, but you're worshiping us. I hope you realize that Christ is the great treasure. Whatever you're seeking in life, whatever you're seeking in school, in relationships, realize that Christ is the great treasure. And what you see this morning will just be a demonstration of that. For me, personally, it's been a blessing to go through this series on numerous levels. I'm blessed to be a part of this church family. Your hunger for God's word, you're willing to be transformed. I was talking to someone else who's in a similar giving campaign locally, and they said it's like pulling teeth. And I thought, why don't I get that feeling? And I think it's just because we spent very little time trying to convince you a building is worth it, and just a lot of time pointing you to Christ, and even willing just to let Christ change your heart. Ultimately, though, I think I'm blessed because God has used this to show me my false treasures, and conversely, he continues to reveal to himself to me as the true treasure. It's a time when the church is asking me to give money, and yet I've never felt freer when it comes to money. I've never felt less tied to it. In a series on money, I've learned to trust and love God more. And I think in my simplicity, when I went into the study, it never even crossed my mind that I would have a greater faith in God. But I do. He's been gracious to my stony heart and revealed to me that he is the true treasure. And this is what I hope God has revealed to you, that these past couple of months, that he's the treasure that you should seek. As we've said, when Christ is your true treasure, then money will cease to be. And when money ceases to be a treasure, it will simply be a means to love others, and more importantly, to love Christ, the real treasure. And this has been our greatest hope for you, that you would treasure Christ. Because when you do, this day truly becomes a special day of worship. Because today, as you give, as you make this commitment, you're saying, Lord, you're the great treasure. Let me just close with this illustration. As we were getting our kids' banks ready yesterday, one of my kids says, Dad, I want to give everything. Okay, so he'd already been saving, but he also had other money saved from before. And I asked him why. He said, well, I want to be a joyful giver. I want to give to this thing, to the building and to God. And so what, you know, my first impulse was is that he shouldn't do this. Because in the scheme of the building project, it's not going to matter. And yet he's been saving some of this money for longer than we've been doing the stewardship project. He's had a couple toys in mind that he's told me about that he's excited about. He was already being generous. Okay, so he's already giving money to this. But in that moment, what had I failed to see? The truth that I'm trying to convey to you this morning. It's not really about the money. It's about our hearts. It's about worship and about money not being a treasure. And so I encourage him. I go, if this is what you want to do, then you should do this. You should give it to God. And so when he puts his bank up here a little later in the service, I believe that that's what makes this day special. That's this kind of worship, this idea that he doesn't treasure money is what makes this day special. Because when we total things up, it's not going to matter. I mean, it's not going to be a blip on the screen of what we're trying to raise. But in the courts of heaven, angels rejoice. Because here a little boy treasures Christ. And I hope this is true for you, and I hope this is true for me. That big or small, our sacrificial offering says to our Lord that we treasure you. So that's why this morning is special. Not because it means that we have more money in our accounts, not because it demonstrates the generosity of our church, but because this morning we say God is our great treasure. Will you take a moment and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your grace and mercy, the chance that we get to treasure you above all things. Lord, we love you and we worship you, and we admit that so often we love money, and so we ask that you be gracious to us. Humble us, continue to show us that you're the great treasure. Be honored this morning. We thank you, Jesus, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. You know, one of the first big blessings of the service is that we get to have the kids. They're going to come in, and they've been saving money in banks to be a part of this. And so they're going to come in, and as they're coming in, be encouraged to worship. But I also encourage you to pray for them. Pray for our kids that we would raise a generation of children who don't love money but love our Lord.